Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Rochelle Nelson. And if you missed parts 1 and 2, go back and listen to those. We talked about mama care and the importance of taking care of ourselves and how that looks practically. But today I want to talk about co-ops. We have often had the question about how to get involved in community, and we've talked about the importance of being involved in your homeschool community.
Right.
But oftentimes it's hard to do that when you don't, maybe you're moving to a new area like we just did, or maybe you're brand new to homeschooling and you're not sure where to find your people. And so where you would find your people most often is through a co-op. But they're not available everywhere.
No.
And though I think more and more now they're popping up.
Yeah, I would say so.
So many more people are
homeschooling. One variation over another.
Right, yeah. Right. So I would love to hear your story let me just back up really quickly. Our family just moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, less than 2 months ago. And before we moved, I'll kind of tell you our process and what I did, knowing that we were coming here. We didn't know anybody when we came, really,
right.
And didn't have any kind of a homeschool community, didn't have any friends. So before we arrived, I went on Facebook and I found one of the local Facebook mm-hmm. homeschool groups. And I also went on the HSLDA website.
Right.
And on that website, you can search by state and then by city,
right, yep,
or town, and it will break down for you what organizations, support mm-hmm. groups, co-ops, things like that have fallen under the HSLDA umbrella.
Right.
And I'll let you kind of talk about that too in a minute, because I'm interested to know, I haven't even asked you about that, how you do that or why you choose to do that. But that's how I found the Oasis Homeschool Alliance, mm-hmm. OHA,
yes.
As you call it, as we call it. And I was really excited to connect with you and get mm-hmm. to meet you before we even came. And this is just a really neat thing, just how the Lord worked. I talked to Rochelle. We got to know each other a little bit over the phone. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved, we had a small moving truck that we didn't have a ton of stuff, but we had stuff. And it was just us. Again, we didn't know anybody. And so you so graciously said, you know, let us know if you guys need help when you move. And so we said, we would love help unpacking the truck. And you and your husband met us here at our house and helped us unpack the things that we had. And that was such a blessing. And so it was really neat because from the very beginning, I mean, as soon as we arrived in town.
Right. First day.
First day. I mean, literally within an hour of arriving, I got to meet you in person. And so now for the past few weeks, we've been able to be part of OHA.
Yes.
Tell me how you got started why you even decided to start this co-op. And then I want to kind of go through the steps that you took to start it.
Okay, sure. So, my family, they homeschooled. And so my mom always had my sisters plugged into, they didn't call it a co-op, mm-hmm. But that's basically what it was.
Sure.
And I grew up in Northern New York. There's very few homeschoolers in that part of the country. And so again, I had this idea of, I want this for my family when I homeschool. And so wherever we lived, we were military. And so we've lived in several different states, and it's always been one of the first things I've sought out. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, community, you got to tap in. You got to find your people. And so it does take a little bit of networking and figuring it out, and some places are easier than others. So when I first moved here, I was 8 months pregnant, and my neighbor had invited us to go to her church for a Wednesday night. And so I had joined her and I met another mom, and they were getting ready to start a co-op. And so I thought, well, I don't really want to be in a new co-op, I don't think. I want to kind of be one that's already established and mm-hmm. I can just walk in. But I just kind of felt like, I think, you know, the Lord kind of pressing me towards that. So I did that, and we joined that co-op, and we were there for 5 years, and I quickly got on to leadership there, and I loved it. I loved being a part of a group that was growing, and I learned a lot being there. And I met Stephanie, who is one of my closest and dearest friends here. And so we served on leadership together at that co-op. My husband actually deployed during that time to Syria, and he was gone. And I thought, oh, this is a terrible time to not have my people. Yeah. And I just prayed about it. And Steph and I both just thought, you know what? There is a need here. We knew what the need was, even though Tulsa is a big homeschooling community. There are lots of groups to tap into, but there really weren't very many that were small, just a close-knit group. And there were certain things that were important to us. We really wanted to protect our homeschool rights. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't want to be a part of a group that was connected with any charter program or, you know, was getting any state funding or anything like that. We wanted to always position ourselves to where we could fight, from a political standpoint.
Right.
So we just started thinking about that and how important that was to us. And there wasn't anything like that. Very few things. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, well, let's do this. And it actually worked out well that my husband was gone, because we were able to get together in the evenings and kind of build it up that way. But I would say the biggest thing is figuring out what the need is. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in an area that there might already be a group, tap into that.
Sure.
Tap into that.
Right.
But if you see a need, really give it prayerful consideration of what that vision is. And I think this is probably the biggest thing, is to really take time to develop what it is you want your group to be. What are those key things that are important? You don't have to have it be a fancy, well-organized group. And we have a mission statement, but you don't have to have that. But it certainly is helpful to keep you focused, to keep reminding you of why you started it in the first place and what's important.
Well, and let me interject there, because that's something that's important for those coming into the co-op to understand. That was one of the things when I was looking through the different options here, because there are many.
Right.
I looked at your statement of faith and your, vision statement, and I just was like, yes, this is exactly what we're looking for. And so I knew automatically that at least from reading on the website, it seemed like, okay, this is going to be a really good fit for our family.
Yeah. And I have found it so helpful just as the years have gone by to always come back to that. If you're trying to add something into your group, like an activity or an event or something, and it doesn't line up with your mission statement, then don't do it. You cannot be all the people, all the things to all the people.
Right.
And so often we tend to do that, We see like all these needs around us. We want to have, maybe a sports thing, or we want to have, all the things, but we can't. So we really have to decide what we want our group to be, and really adhere to that. And filter all the things that we do through that vision statement. So I would say that's a big one. Stephanie and I started together. And although I think it's possible to start one by yourself, I highly recommend finding your buddy. Even if you have to get started solo, be seeking somebody that you can, that can join alongside you. Obviously, it's for the work, it's nice to share that, but also for accountability. Again, just to hold you to that vision, that mission statement. But it's nice to not have to feel like you have to carry that burden alone.
Yeah. Cause it's overwhelming. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
At least in the beginning. It's a lot of work, throughout the process of doing it, but I would imagine in the very beginning, when you're getting everything established and set up, it is something that you need to share with someone. That's just too much for one person to carry.
Right. And one of our big things was, family's the top priority. That's why we homeschool. We want to really develop that. So between Stephanie and I, one of our accountability is, if it's not fostering that, if that's not making family first, then we're not going to do it, or we're not going to worry about it. If we're late posting something or get an event going, or, but it's because something happened with our family or we needed to make family our priority.
Yeah.
We're just simply not going to worry about it, because as much as we love our co-op, it's not more important than our family.
Right.
So establishing those barriers to protect yourself from getting, cause that was a mistake I made with the previous one, was that I just devoted too much time to it.
Right.
So I needed to protect myself from doing that again.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important thing too, is to, how much time are you willing to sacrifice? Cause you're going to have to take time away from other things. And really knowing what the need is.
Yep.
And then putting together just something, however formal you want to make it, but to really know what that vision is and to remind yourself of it often.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Rochelle, and so we're talking about how to get a co-op started, kind of why you started it in the first place. And then the first thing is to know what the need is. Because if there are 10 other groups
in
your area,
if there's not a need, figure out a way to tap into what's already there.
Right.
Because, you know, you really want a sense of community with all the homeschooling groups in your area.
Right.
You know,
yes.
So there's not a reason.
We're all on team homeschool.
We're all on team homeschool. So there's not a reason to invent something that's already been invented. You know, if there's already something that you can plug into, then that would be the first thing to do.
Right.
Which, you know, takes a little time to find out what's there. But if you see that there is anything, then I definitely recommend starting one.
Yeah. So then what would the next step be? Once you see that there's a need, you've found a partner, you have someone else
you can find somebody,
at least one or maybe a few.
Yep, or a group, yep. Then to start work on that vision and what it is that you want that to be. Mm-hmm. You know, so for us, it's we want it to be extracurricular, but we want it to all be in addition to what we're doing at home, because home is what's most important.
Right.
We don't want to overwhelm anybody. So then it's just, what do you want it to be? You know, do you want it to be academic? Do you want it to be extracurricular? Do you want it to be one day a week?
Right.
You know, 2 days a week? Do you want it to just be in-home gatherings, very casual?
Right.
So establishing those
things.
What age levels? Yep. So, and that takes time to really, and again, that'll come back to the need, because often if you're seeing a need, that's what you're going to try to provide.
Right.
So that might help establish what your group's going to sort of look like.
Right.
And there's a lot of casting, like trial and error. Throw it out there, see if it works, and if it doesn't, get rid of it. There's not any reason to keep doing something just because you tried it and it didn't work.
Right.
So I would say that's another big one too, is be willing to try lots of things and be willing to toss out whatever is not working and try again and not look at it as a failure.
Yeah.
It's just, we tried it and it didn't work. You know, get used to saying, oops, you know, sorry, my bad, you know, because you're going to mess up a fair amount, you know, and that's just, that just goes with the territory. So not be afraid of that.
Sure. And then you have to find families.
And then you have to find
join.
Families. Yes. So, you know, social media helps us.
Uh-huh.
So you can form a Facebook page. You can, we do have a website. And there's different ways to go about that. You can use like a Wix or something and set up, and it can be free, or you can pay for a domain and then have your own website. There's different sites now, like our group uses Band, which we have really loved as an app, as a way to communicate amongst the group. But as far as finding people, word of mouth is great. Mm-hmm. And I would always warn to not be too quick to grow. Just let it happen naturally, and to not be concerned if people join and then leave. And then there's going to be a natural ebb and flow of people. And what we have found is, because you're always a little like bummed when people leave. You know, there's always that, what did I do wrong? Why are they not happy here? You know?
Right.
But just understanding that God just allows people to come and go. And each semester, I feel like we've gotten, you know, we're settling into our group and it's feeling more like God's kind of weeding out. Not that the people that came and left aren't worthy of being our group, but I mean, we might not be their people.
Right.
It might not be providing the need that their family is looking for. So just allow it to grow slowly and to not feel like you need to be at a certain number. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's a great recommendation, because oftentimes we feel like we want the biggest.
Right.
But bigger isn't always better.
No, and
sometimes
in fact, that's what we wanted smaller. You know, when Steph and I started, we really wanted smaller. And in terms of like the legal aspect of it, if you want to be a nonprofit, you know, we're a social club. We're a 501c7 because it was really important to us to not be attached to the government anyway, because we wanted to be able to, again, if we wanted to get involved politically at all, to protect sure. homeschool rights.
Right.
We had to set ourselves up that way to be able to do that. So you got to think about those things.
Right.
And again, like what's important to you. And to, you know, it's been easy for us to people try to convince us to want to be mm-hmm. a nonprofit. There's certainly benefit in that, but it was one of our hard, you know, like, nope, this is.
Right.
And so we, you know, it's, again, that's there to protect us from being tempted to, you know, wanting to take the benefits of being sure. a nonprofit. But for some people, being a nonprofit is going to be the way to go.
Yeah.
So it's just figuring out what it is that you want, what's important to you, mm-hmm. What the needs are in the area, and allowing people's strengths and what their talents are mm-hmm. to allow them to be used. And you're going to see that you'll be gradually growing people. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, like you get new moms that are maybe new to homeschooling or new to a co-op, and teaching a class or helping out is very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so neat to watch, even just after a semester or two.
Right.
They just kind of, they blossom, you know, you gradually find out what little hidden talents they aren't sharing with you.
Right,
you
right.
know? And it's really neat to see how God kind of molds all that together.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that you allow the moms to teach what is, what they're passionate mm-hmm. about. Because if you throw someone in a co-op and say, you're going to teach science, and they have no passion for science and no understanding of science, they're going right. to be a terrible science teacher.
Right.
Or art. I mean, I could not teach art. Singing, as you and I talked about previously.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to teach choir. That would be terrible.
Yeah,
that would
you do
be a
not
total
want me to teach choir.
Disaster. But the Lord has gifted each one of us. And it's such a great feeling of knowing that we are needed. We do each have a place.
Yeah.
And being able to see where the Lord can use us to be a blessing, not just to our families, but to the families around us.
And it's so nice for the kids to see that.
Yes.
You know, they really see that. They get to see that their mom is teaching other kids and is, you know, they, so often I'll have kids come up to me that'll say like, you know, my mom is doing this art class or, you know, cause they're proud. They know what their mom right. can do. And it's so nice for them to see their friends getting to learn from that. And so it's just, it's really neat to be able to just share our gifts and talents with, you know, other kids. You know, I'm always so blessed that other people can teach my kids certain things that are definitely not my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
What are some things that you have seen the Lord do in and through your family in starting this co-op? Because how long have you had this co-op?
3 years.
Okay. So have you seen your family grow specifically as a result of having started this co-op?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that, again, it's been really neat for the kids to see. And they really love being able to, you know, offer up suggestions mm-hmm. or, you know, kind of tap into it that way. It's definitely challenged me with my walk with the Lord because it's been very easy for me to want to, you know, I get, it's a job, it's work.
Right.
And so it is a more of a balancing act for me. So, mm-hmm. I think it's challenged me spiritually because I've had to learn to not take on too much
right.
and just to tackle things in bite-sized pieces,
right.
And to not get frazzled with mm-hmm. the kids. So, we've grown a lot. There's been some growing pains,
sure.
I would say, but I think it's really neat for them to see. They know that it's from the Lord.
Right.
They know that God is doing that.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's been a great opportunity for them to watch something start from nothing.
Yeah.
And to also just to see that there are other families, you know, like them that,
yes.
you know, want to homeschool and want to live in a life that's similar to what we're doing in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a big blessing that I get to kind of help guide what that is. You know, I don't take that lightly that,
right.
you know, as leaders, Steph and I get to kind of guide that. And so we
sure.
just really trust that God will always bring the right people to our group and will just speak through us and use us.
Yeah.
So
it's
been
it's
neat.
All about discipleship.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I think is really neat is seeing the kids serving in different areas, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's setting up classrooms or cleaning up afterwards mm-hmm. or, you know, helping the little kids find their classes or whatever
right.
it is, it's neat to watch the older kids falling into that role because that's something that sometimes as homeschoolers, when they're home, they don't have the opportunity
right.
to serve in those areas. And
right.
so it's neat to be able to watch them
and so often
fill those roles.
Naturally too, you know, you're not
right.
really having to... Very little nudging, it
yes.
seems like. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing that I think is so cool about co-ops, about homeschool co-ops specifically, is that you've got such a wide range of ages, mm-hmm. and you've got the, you know, I mean, kids kind of congregate towards their own age groups,
sure,
but you still have the older kids playing with younger kids. Yes. And that is one of the beauties of homeschooling.
Absolutely. One of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
For
you're
sure.
not just stuck in a classroom with kids who are only your age and your right. maturity level. You get a yeah. great mix of ages, maturity levels, different family backgrounds, mm-hmm. and, but people who all have the same goal
right.
of pointing their kids towards Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that's such a privilege to be able to see the kids
really
interacting with each other that way.
And enjoying it, you know,
I mean,
they really yes. do. They enjoy it. The olders enjoy being able to help the youngers. Yep. And, you know, like if my youngest is crying or whatever, I rarely, you know, there's people begging to hold them or play
right.
with them or,
yes.
you know, so it's great.
Yes.
It's really great.
How did you get connected with HSLDA? So HSLDA, for those who don't know, mm-hmm. is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. We've talked about them lots of times on the
I'm
podcast.
Sure, yeah.
How did you connect with them and why did you partner with them?
Well, so we have insurance as a group. And so if you are, the word is not partnered with, but I'm trying to think maybe what the correct terminology is. But if you join up with them, you'll get a discount on your insurance.
Oh, okay.
So that's what triggered it.
Okay.
But then we loved that we had other perks. So one of them is if you are an OHA member, mm-hmm. you will get a discounted membership through HSLDA.
Uh-huh.
And so that's been great. And the only thing we need to do is we have annual meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just mention it to the group. And then there's all the resources, there's so many resources and
yes.
we can share those with the group.
Okay.
So the biggest benefit is the discount mm-hmm. for us as a group, mm-hmm. but then also each family can receive a discount with their membership.
Okay.
And then, you know, like we get to be put on the website. So mm-hmm. if people right. are looking for a group, right. our name will pop up, which that was fun.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to be able to connect people to an organization that's
sure.
been around for a long time.
Yep.
And can help in so many ways.
Right. And then you get the legal backing from them
and
as well.
And then you get the legal backing.
Because
right.
you're now members of HSLDA.
Yes.
So
yep.
they are our legal covering for homeschool freedom.
Right. Right. And they have been, we've been able to ask them questions mm-hmm. too about our co-op. You know, they've been able to help answer questions for us as a group.
Yep.
So it's nice to have somebody else, some, you know, expert advice
sure.
when you have questions about things.
Do they have I know of many of their, areas and departments that they have within HSLDA, but do they have people specifically who will help you with co-ops or support groups, things like that?
I don't know if they have anyone specific. They
okay.
might.
Okay. I'm curious to know.
Yeah. I'm curious
we'll
too.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. That'll be a new one for me, but they've been great.
Sure.
And they sent us like all kinds of pamphlets and
okay.
things to be able to have to hand
sure.
out to people. So
yeah,
they're definitely fantastic. A resource that you want to have in your pocket for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So would you do it again?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start it all over. So really quickly, if you were moving to a brand new area where you didn't know a single person,
right.
and there was not a co-op there that met the needs of your family, and you didn't have any friends to start a co-op
right.
with, because as you said, it's easier to do this with a partner.
It is, right.
Would you still jump into doing something like this as the new kid on the block? And I guess I should say you would do it if the Lord called you to do it. But
right.
let's say the Lord's called you to do this.
Right.
Would you be brave enough to jump in and do this?
I would. And I think that, you know, in that situation, it might look a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably would start it more of like meeting at my house.
Sure.
Or something like that.
Right.
You know,
because
when you get down to the legal end of it and establishing yourselves.
Right.
That's where there's a lot of there's a lot of things to balance and
yeah.
that's when you really start to need somebody to help you and just that skill set, you know, like
right.
that's not really, that's Stephanie does a lot of that aspect of it.
Right. Right.
So, finding somebody that you can really connect with and work well together and which mm-hmm. has been a tremendous blessing because
sure.
we really work well together. So if you don't have somebody to do those things, mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend starting an extremely organized group.
Right.
I would probably start smaller.
Sure.
And until you find that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then grow it.
Yep. You can start as simple as doing park days once
yes.
a week or once
yep.
every other week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe go bowling every couple of weeks.
Right.
Or, you know, so there are lots of things, skate days, things like that, where you can just put it out there and say, hey, you know, let's get together at the park. Let's get
right.
together
just some
at
social
the skating
activities
rink.
to allow you to get to know some people.
Right. Yeah. Right. And trust the Lord. I mean, as in everything that we do, you know, trust the Lord that he's going to bring the right people to you to be able to coordinate these efforts that he's called you to, because he knows our needs.
Yep.
He knows the needs of those in our community. Mm-hmm. And he will meet those needs. But sometimes we need to be willing to say yes.
Right.
And
it doesn't need to look like other homeschool groups too. Just like our homeschool at home is going to meet the needs of our family. That carries over into our homeschool co-ops. So I think that's important to not try to compare ourselves to other groups or to just really listen, take time to, that's a big one, is to, you know, even once it's, you have your group and you have your, just being willing to listen and know that it might change. Those needs might change. And so you have to be a flexible person.
Right.
And that can be hard, you know, for, like for me, that's, that's hard. Yes. I want to kind of do it my way. So that's been a growing area for me, is to just really learn to listen to what the needs are, and to take time to ask the questions. And if you ask those questions and you really listen, God will show you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll show you.
He will. He's faithful to do that. And it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't have to be a co-op that meets once a week. You know, we were just in Georgia most recently, and they have a support group there that's not a co-op. They don't meet once a week or once a month, but they're there to just support the homeschool families in their area. And so they have skate days, and they have a theater group, and they have sports teams, and all these things that kind of make up the homeschool community. Mm-hmm. And but it's not a meet up once a week thing. And so there are so many different options, and be creative, you know, see where the Lord leads you.
Definitely be creative. So. Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Well, I am very excited to be part of OHA.
Yes. We're so excited to have
as
you.
My girls are. We missed 2 weeks because of the snow and ice.
Oh, I know.
Man, and the they were devastated. I mean, it was such a bummer.
Just wait till like the semester ends and you have to get through summer.
Oh, I know. That's going to be hard. Terrible. Yeah. Well, you know, then that's when you still gather people
together.
Yeah,
that's when you have your park days.
And go swimming. Find the person who has the swimming
pool.
You know,
last summer I did Get Wet Wednesdays.
Oh, nice.
And that was fun. And a lot of people from co-op would come.
Yeah.
But just be silly and creative and.
Yep. Find your people.
Yep.
Find your group. Figure out how to get together. So, well, thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you for having me.
Really enjoyed having you. And it's been really fun to have you in the studio with me. And not on a split screen. It's fun to get to talk face to face with you. So thank you for what you have done. You've been a blessing to our family.
Thank you.
And just for your encouragement with taking care of ourselves as moms and all that you do for the homeschool community. God is using you in a big way. So, all right. And thank you guys for listening. It has been so much fun to be with you again. We love you guys. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to help support the Schoolhouse Rocked Ministry financially, we always are looking for support. So you can go to schoolhouserocked.com and click on the donate here button. And we would love for you to pray about that. So thank you. Have a great rest of your week, and we will see you back here on Monday. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.